But we're going to talk, we've been talking about, we started last week, we're going to talk about living the faith and just simple kind of ways that we can live out our faith in Jesus and what it looks like and what lessons we can learn from some of the examples of fellow believers that we find in the New Testament. And one of the most important revelations, if you will, or understandings that we can get a hold of is the power of our testimony. And I think sometimes we convince ourselves that it isn't much. And I remember growing up, we would have a lot of different preachers come through. Usually youth preachers do this. And they'd tell story after story of, you know, a young person that came from a really rough background. Usually they were addicted to something, drugs, alcohol. There were a lot of alcoholics in these stories. People that were involved in all sorts of things and messed up and all kinds of things that I had never experienced or even been close to experiencing. And we would hear great miraculous stories of their conversions, and I understand why they do that. Just to give you an example, and it gets your attention as well. But after years of hearing stories like that, I remember there was a group of us in the church, and we were raised in it. And we had, the youth group had grown, and there were people coming in that had similar stories to some of these. And I just remember, you know, we felt kind of down on ourselves after a while. Because it was like, well, my testimony, my mom just brought me to church. You know, I didn't do any of these things. I wasn't addicted to this or that. I wasn't delivered. And some of us started feeling like our testimony wasn't as good as some of these other ones. And then our youth pastor got a hold of it and straightened us out. But that's the feeling that a lot of people have sometimes. And I know some of us in the youth group went out and dabbled in some of these things because they felt like, well, I need to have some sort of story and testimony. And it kind of backfired, I guess. But the fact of the matter is we all have a testimony. Whether we've been here for 5 minutes or we've been here for 50 years, there's a power. And there's a power that comes with that testimony. Once upon a time, there was a man named John. He was one of Jesus' disciples. And he was given a vision by God of all sorts of things that people like to talk about now. The book of Revelation. And midway through this book, in chapter 12, he describes a scene where there's this massive fight between good and evil, angels and devils, and all that sort of things going on. And he describes the people who are saved and the people who are in heaven and have overcome the enemy, the evil one. And he describes them as such. In Revelation 12 and 11, English Standard, he says, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death." And John sees this group that's in heaven that's been saved, and they overcame the enemy by two things: by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. And we all know that the blood of Jesus is powerful. It was with the blood and their testimony that they overcame. And I'm not saying that they're equal, that our testimony is as powerful as the blood of Jesus. We don't have a testimony without it. But when we put these two together, there's no enemy that we cannot overcome. Our testimony reminds us and it reminds others and tells others what God has done in the past, and what he's done in the past, he can do again. And there are times we can become overwhelmed by life and the things that it throws at us. And the enemy has a way of, in those times, trying to slip in thoughts of defeat, trying to slip in thoughts of quitting. And it's by our testimony in those times that we overcome him, that we defeat him. We remind ourselves and the enemy that, no, Jesus has been too good to me. All of my life, the song says, he has been faithful. He's done this for me. He's done that for me. He's brought me out of this, and he's delivered me from that. He's healed, and he's saved, and he's done all these things for me. And it's by those testimonies that when he tries to slip in those thoughts of defeat that we overcome it. His blood gets us there, and our testimony helps keep us there. Charles Swindoll said, a time-honored, effective method of evangelism is your personal testimony. Just telling about your spiritual pilgrimage or where God's brought you from. The skeptic may deny your doctrine or attack your church, but he cannot honestly ignore the fact that your life has been cleaned up and revolutionized. It is our story when we have experience. The world likes to push your truth a lot right now. Tell your truth. Well, this is it. Nobody can take it from you. This is your story. This is what God's done in your life. No one can take it. And when we have experience, people don't know how to deny it. They can't really, there's nothing you can say against it, because this is what I've lived and I've proved this. And for that reason alone, he said, we ought to rehearse what God has done in our lives and share it with everyone we can, wherever we go. Every human life is a story being told, a story that will be told from its opening pages to the final chapter. And as different as every person's story may be, there is at least one thing every story has in common. There are lessons that we can learn. So some stories and some lives are filled with pain and suffering, some with tragedy and loss, some with great drama. But some, you know, some stories appear to be textbook presentations of how to live and how to be successful, and others are tales of woe and failure. But whatever kind of story we may find ourselves living out, its final chapter will be as unique as a person whose life it presents or represents. It's as different as the fingerprints of individual people. Our stories are all different, and God works through all of it. We can think of our life as a story that's being played out on the stage of human drama. Everyone kind of sees, you know, what's going on in our lives. Some of us more than others. All the world is a stage, according to Billy Shakespeare or William. Our lives include excitement, pain, sorrow, exhilaration, success, and failure. And through the pages and the chapters of our lives, we have testimonies to be shared, and a collective testimony, all of us together, of what God can do. And these testimonies contain much that can benefit others through both positive and negative examples. You know, people can teach you anything. They can either teach you how to do something or how to not to do something. You can learn you can learn a lot by watching people. And their story, their testimony can tell us what to do or what not to do. The Webster Dictionary defines a testimony as two things: an open acknowledgement or a public profession of religious experience. So in this lesson that we're going to talk about, we're talking about testimony as a public acknowledgement or profession, obviously in a religious experience. So we all have a testimony. So Paul in the New Testament, he was famous for sharing his testimony. You can find many instances. You can find Paul's story several times in different epistles. In the book of Acts, he tells it quite often. It's been said historically that they had to swap out his jailers when he was in jail quite frequently because he was converting them by just telling his testimony so fast. They had to keep swapping them out so they wouldn't get saved, because that's not what they're there for. Paul, he had a powerful story and a conversion experience, and he shared it anytime he could. And one such instance we find is in Acts chapter 26. And we find Paul sharing his testimony with a man known as King Agrippa. And he was a king in the same sort of sense that Herod was. They shouldn't probably have been kings, but they were kind of put in place by the Roman government. They weren't kings in the traditional sense of the word. But Jesus had told his disciples that this sort of thing would happen. In Luke 21, he said, "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up into the synagogues and prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Jesus said, you're going to be punished, you're going to be persecuted. And what this is going to do is it's going to bring you before people. It's going to bring you before kings and rulers. And he said in verse 13, "And it shall turn to you for a testimony," or it's going to give you a chance to share your testimony with others. Jesus made it pretty clear that his disciples will be put in positions like this sometimes, and that our responsibility, if we ever find ourselves in a position like this, would be to share our testimony. And I know we think, no, it's not going to happen anyway. No, we're not going to find ourselves in any sort of courtroom. But you'd be surprised where your testimony can take you. There's a preacher that I grew up hearing. He went to our church many times. And in 2003, he experienced something quite remarkable. And he had a massive heart attack. He was dead for a while. And God raised him up. And through a series of events of him telling this testimony, in 2015, he found himself before the United Nations General Assembly and was given the chance to share his testimony with them. So I'm going to show you that right now. It's only like 6 minutes. But just to show you.
Your Excellency,
it's Brother Stone King, if you haven't.
Mr. Sam Kusia, President of the General Assembly. Your Excellency, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations. Your Excellency, Nasser Abdulaziz Al-Nasser, High Representative for the Alliance of Civilization. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank the President of this General Assembly, the Secretary General of the United Nations, and the High Representative for the Alliance of Civilization for your leadership in convening this high-level thematic debate on a very important agenda item. Thank you. You are looking at a miracle. By all medical expertise, I'm not supposed to be alive. On November 12, 2003, I fell dead of a massive heart attack in the airport in Sydney, Australia. I was clinically dead 45 minutes. They administered CPR, resuscitation, and they gave me 10 electric shock treatments to my heart. In the United States, they give 3 shock treatments and they stop. In Australia, they give 4 shock treatments and they stop. They gave me 10 electric shock treatments to my heart. The blood had coagulated already in my hands and my arms, in my feet and my legs. There was absolutely no hope for me at all. I was just a corpse. They took my body and put it on a stretcher and carried it to an ambulance. And the paperwork had been finished and it was DOA, dead on arrival at the hospital. But in the ambulance, on the way to the hospital, when all that medical science knew to do, and with all that was at their disposal to administer, it did not work. But in the ambulance, just a corpse lying on that stretcher, Jesus stepped on board that ambulance, and my heart began to beat, and the breath came back. The driver was startled. The paramedic was startled. He told me later, he said, "I have never seen anyone recover from what has happened to you. This all happened November 12th, 2003. After several weeks in Australia, I returned to the United States to my home by myself because I was totally healed. In 2004, I went to a hospital in Jackson, Tennessee for just a major checkup, and they gave me a complete blood lipid profile, triglycerides, LDLs, HDLs, cholesterol, etc. In a couple of weeks, I went back for the results, and when I walked in, the doctor looked at me and he said, "Your results are absolutely excellent." He said, "But Reverend, we now can check the DNA in a person's body. We decided to check your DNA." He said, "When we checked your DNA," he said, "when God raised you miraculously from the dead, he removed the APOE genetic marker for heart disease out of every cell in your body." He said, "That is impossible. It's impossible." He said, "Only God could do such a thing." He said, "When God healed you and raised you up, he totally, miraculously healed you." So I am grateful today to be alive, because we know, having been clinically dead for 45 minutes with no breath and no heartbeat, I asked the paramedic later, I said, "Nigel, what happened when you shot my heart?" He said, "It would beat 3 or 4 times and it would stop." We know that after 6 minutes or less with no oxygen to the brain, there is irreparable brain damage. But God has totally raised me from the dead. Finally, a doctor looked at me and he said, "You have defied all the laws of medical science." I looked at him and I said, "I didn't, but I know the one who did."
Yeah.
His name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I am an apostolic Christian. And my message here to you today is this. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The answer, Your Excellencies, to the violence in our day and to the human atrocities in our day is Jesus.
Amen.
He is the Prince of Peace. I give you Jesus.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. This is crazy how this happened. Like, not crazy, but like, it's amazing how God can take someone's testimony and then bring them before the United Nations and be able to share that. You never know what God can do through a testimony. And through that, you know, they heard Acts 2:38. They heard about Jesus. And that is incredible. Our testimonies are powerful. And they are important. And you never know what door will be opened by sharing it. And so, much like Brother Stone came, the Apostle Paul found himself before some pretty important people with the opportunity to share his testimony. Acts 26, it says, "And Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth which was at the first among mine own nation in Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, have hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. And so Paul, he starts telling his testimony. He goes on for quite a bit, as he often did. But he tells his life story. He talks about how he was trained to be a Pharisee, and how he opposed the church, and about how when he was on the road to Damascus, Jesus revealed himself to him and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And he tells how he had this great revelatory moment, and how through it all, Jesus called Paul to preach this very gospel that he had once opposed. And Paul said that God had told him, in verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." And he says, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And so he's telling them this whole testimony. And much like when Brother Stone King was telling his story, everyone's gripped by it. And when he has King Agrippa hooked with his riveting testimony, just like Brother Stone King does basically the same thing, as I'm all caught up in the story. And then he hits them with the gospel. Praise God. And this is what Paul does. He has Agrippa. He's got him. He's got him listening to the story. And then he goes on to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus with him. And Agrippa is stirred deeply in his soul. And every one of us, we have a salvation story. And like I said at the beginning, sometimes we can undersell it or think it's not as exciting or glamorous as maybe someone else's. I mean, if you look at Paul, I mean, I wasn't converted like Paul was. Like, I had this bright light and a voice speaking to him, and then he was blind for a while, and somebody came and prayed for him, and you know, all this stuff. But every story of a life redeemed from sin and destruction is exciting, interesting, and profound. And every person's story is uniquely designed and positioned to reach out and impact certain individuals. And Paul going on about being a Pharisee doesn't mean a lot to people that don't know what a Pharisee is. You know? You going on to me about being addicted from drugs, it doesn't mean as much to me as someone who is addicted or has been. You know? We all have different stories, and we reach different people with our stories. And God puts us in the position to do that. We all have different stories to tell, and those testimonies possess great power to move individuals towards salvation. And because of that, our testimonies should be shared. Acts 26 and 22, Paul says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." So Paul says, from that day that I was saved, from that day I had this great moment and this voice spoke and all this stuff happened, I have not stopped witnessing. I have not stopped sharing this story. I have not stopped sharing the testimony that I have in Jesus. Why do we stop? This is what Paul did for years. Why do we seem to stop? When we first experience something, we first get saved, or we first get healed, you know, we're super excited to tell everyone about it. We're calling out people and we're telling them, and everyone we run into, we tell them. And then for some reason, we get less and less excited, and we stop telling folks and we stop witnessing. Why is that? I don't have an answer. I'm just asking. Because everyone needs to hear about what Jesus can do in a life. I remember, again, when I was growing up, we would have testimony services. We don't do them very often, but we do them more than some folks do. And but I remember it always seemed to be the same people. And I think our pastor asked certain people to do it because, you know why. But they would get up and they would tell, most of them would tell, unless it was something, you know, that happened that week or whatever, most of them would tell the same story every time. So much so that you could almost quote it word for word with them. And I love that. I think that's important. Because maybe you hear a story once and then you kind of forget it. When you hear the same ones over and over and over, it sticks in your mind. You know, we forget a lot. What did I say on Sunday? Like 15% of what we hear, we remember. So the more you hear someone's testimony, the more you're going to remember.
Amen.
There was one old guy, Bernie Hanscom. I've told you about him before. He was in the war. And I just remember his testimony because it was a wild one. He was in the army. He was in the war. And he would tell about how God kept him through that war, being in the trenches and bullets whizzing over his head, and how when he went to war, he was kind of on the fence about living for God. He wasn't really totally in it. And every time he'd say, "But I learned how to pray in those trenches."
Amen.
And he said, "Boy, you learned how to pray in those trenches." And I remember a specific statement. "You learned how to pray in those trenches," because he told it over and over and over. And he told how through that and learning to pray and through the war, which is a wild thing to think of, God worked in his life and he kept him and led him. And I love those stories. But for some reason, we seem to get tired of telling our testimony. But Paul said, "I've been telling this ever since it happened. I'll tell it to anyone who wants to listen, to great and to small. Whoever's going to listen to me, I'm going to tell them about what Jesus did, and everyone needs to hear about how God can change a life." There are three reasons to share a testimony. One, it strengthens us. It reminds us of how great God is. It reminds us of what he's done for us. Two, it helps lead others to Jesus or to salvation. And you tell someone where you came from, because, you know, some of us, we've been in this for a long time, and someone looks at us, well, they've always been saved. They've always... You know, they've always been like this. When you tell, "No, I used to be like this."
Yeah.
And God did something. Oh, then there's hope there.
Yeah.
Maybe he can do it for me. It helps lead others to Jesus. And the last thing is it strengthens and encourages others. So it strengthens us, but it also strengthens each other. When I hear about what God's done in your life, that encourages me. Because I haven't been through all the things there are to go through in life. None of us have. When I hear how God delivered you from this thing or did this, and you know, then it helps me. Oh, yes. Well, so if I ever come against this, I know. Someone said a Christian testimony should not end with a conversion experience, but it should also include the ways in which God has worked in our lives afterwards. Because he's still doing stuff. And if he isn't, then you need to let him.
Right.
As an example, a testimony should include how he's brought us through maybe a difficult time in our life. You know, a loss or a sickness or something, and has built our faith in him. And through it, we should be able to describe the ongoing process and how the Holy Ghost is leading us and guiding and molding us and making us more like him. God will help us share our testimony. I didn't put these verses in, so don't be mad at me, but sometimes we can be a little bit timid and worried or scared even to share our testimony. But the Bible says in Acts 1:8 that the Holy Ghost gives us power to be a witness. It says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth." And the Bible says that after we receive the Holy Ghost, we will receive power to be a witness. There's a power that comes with it because it's the Spirit of God. All power in heaven and earth is in that name. There is power that has been bestowed on us when we receive the Spirit, and that helps us witness. The Holy Ghost helps us to persuade, to win people to Jesus. He gives us words to speak. Luke 12, 11 to 12. There's too many ones. And when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and powers, take no thought what or how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you want to say. Jesus said the Holy Ghost is going to help you to witness when you get put in these positions. And so Jesus told his disciples not to worry when they got arrested and put on trial and they defend their faith, or people are asking, the Holy Ghost will give you the words. What happened in Acts chapter 2? Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, got up and preached to the crowd. He didn't have any notes prepared. He's bolder than I am. And 3,000 people were added to the church. And we walk in the Spirit, we live a life of prayer and submission to Jesus, and we surprised at what he can do through you, through your testimony, through the Holy Ghost. He will put you in places you never thought. Maybe you'll be in front of the United Nations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get a chance to witness to somebody on your street that you never thought you'd have the opportunity to. You never know. And he'll give you the words to say. If we live that life, let the Holy Ghost work through us. The song says, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Let that be our prayer again. And Paul said in Acts 26 and 22, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing. We've already read this, and both small and great, and all that. But he says, having therefore obtained help from God, God is the one that helped him do it. And through that help, Paul testified about, through God helping him, Paul testified about the help of God. Help, help, help. Paul, he said he had an obligation or a burden he felt, and a desire to share the good news of Jesus everywhere that he went. There's one story, a famous story with Paul, where he goes to Mars Hill, and he tries to use the world's wisdom. He quotes their philosophers, and he does all that, and he even uses like the idol, the whatever, the altar, whatever they have there, and he tries to use that, and it doesn't really work. There's not much that happens conversion-wise. And then we find him later in the Corinthians, and he's writing, this is after that, and he basically says, I'm just coming to you with the cross. I'm just preaching you Jesus. I'm just preaching him crucified. Fear and trembling, that's how I'm doing it. That's the best way. The best way is just to give him Jesus. This is what Jesus is. This is what he's done. This is what he can do for you. It's the best way. And he shares his testimony, his personal story about how God moved in his life and God helped him through certain uncertain times. And by sharing his testimony with others, a story of God's grace, salvation, and assistance, he was strengthening his own faith and planting seeds of faith in others. It's one thing to hear, you know, other things that God did in the Bible days. You know what? I love reading the Bible. You know, if I didn't like the Bible, then I don't know. Probably get a new guy. You know, I like reading these stories. I like studying them out. It's another thing to read like history books. Like I've been reading some. About the first superintendent of the EPC. And just the stuff that God did. And it's one thing you hear about what God did 100 years ago. But it's another thing altogether to hear about what God, you know, it's another thing to hear what God's doing on the other side of the world. We hear missions report, and you know I love them. But there's something different, unique, about sitting down with an individual one-on-one or in a church-type setting and hearing about what God has done in their lives personally. You know, I love the Bible stories, I love church stories, and you know, I love missions reports, but sometimes I get to sit down with other pastors and hear about what God's doing in their churches. Or I get to sit down with some of you and hear what God's doing in your lives. A few years ago, Brother Weir and I, we would drive every week to Bridgewater, and he would tell me story after story after story of miracles and things that God did in his family and things that God did in this church. And often, like Bernie Hanscom, they told him the same way. And I remember he told me a story about his father sitting at the back having a heart attack or something, right? And then Brother Dickinson went and prayed for him. And he said, how's he say it? He died, but he didn't die of a heart attack. Right? I know these stories because he's told me. And there's something about sitting down with someone and hearing those stories. And it encourages me knowing that God did this here. God did this among you people and your families through people I know. And when we share our testimony for Jesus, it's spiritually strengthening to us, but it builds our own faith as we recall what God's done for us. But its impact doesn't just stop with me. It goes to whoever's hearing it. And so because of that, everyone should hear our testimony. We shouldn't keep the good news to ourselves. We should share it wherever and whenever we can. Good news is always worth sharing, especially in a world that's filled with bad news. I'm going to skip this story. Our testimony can point others to Jesus. So we got to keep sharing it because this is what can happen. The purpose of sharing our story isn't to get attention or credit or, oh wow, look how great you are or how far you've come or whatever. It's to encourage the discouraged and to point people to Jesus. We call unsaved people lost because that's what they are without Jesus. And we have a message that can point them and guide them to where they will no longer be lost and where they will find a place where they belong. And we have a message that can lead them to the one who can heal their body, who can heal their heart, their mind, their soul. And that's good news, and good news should be shared. Acts 26:23-24 says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus, that's a good name, said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And so Paul wraps up this testimony. And this guy named Festus speaks up. Porcius Festus was his full name. He was a Judean procurator, which is someone who represented others in court during the time of Paul. We don't know much else about him except for he has an opinion. And Festus, he interrupts Paul right at, you know, where he's near the end. And in modern English, he says, Paul, you are out of your mind. You are crazy. You've lost it, Paul. I don't know if you ever told a testimony and someone's had that reaction. That's a biblical reaction. You're okay. You was crazy. You lost your mind. I know sometimes when you tell me stories, I look at you like that, but that's just how I look at people. I'm not thinking it. You're not alone if someone's called you crazy. They did it to Paul. Some people, they just won't receive it. Some people aren't ready to receive it yet. But even still, your testimony has the ability to make a powerful impact. Anyway, what I like about Paul here is that this guy just calls him crazy. And he's like, no, I'm not. And he just keeps going. He doesn't get offended. You know, sometimes we get really offended when people don't receive what we have to say. This happens almost weekly for me. I get offended. But Paul is better than me. And he said, then Agrippa said unto Paul, I missed it, sorry. I got ahead of myself. I'll read it. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. So he says, I'm not crazy. And then he continues to speak to Agrippa, because that's who he's telling the story to anyway. Festus is just eavesdropping. How do we react when someone seems to reject our testimony? Or when people call us crazy? The example Paul gives us here is to just keep testifying anyway. Just keep sharing it anyway. And then verse 28, it says, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, almost, I was almost persuaded. Paul's testimony had an impact on Agrippa, no doubt about it. When we share our testimony with passion and with faith, there is an impact, and God can work and he can stir hearts. But ultimately, it's up to the person whether they receive it or not. This story has been preached many times about Agrippa being almost persuaded and the danger of being almost persuaded and not being fully on board. And it seems a bit strange to use the story where Paul didn't convert someone as an example of the power of a testimony. But this is a real life kind of story that we'll see in our own lives at some point. Something we can no doubt relate to. Sometimes people don't accept it. Sometimes people say you're crazy. Sometimes they're almost persuaded, and other times they come fully to Jesus. The thing about our testimony is we don't know when they might accept it. There are people who hear about Jesus and hear about his love and seem to make no move toward him for years, and that word just kind of sits there dormant like a seed, and then one day something happens. One day the conditions change and the seed begins to take root, and that root begins to go a little bit deeper and something starts to happen. All because of that seed that was planted years ago. And so our job, our responsibility is to just sow the seed and to plant the seed and to share your testimony and share the word and trust that what God said in Isaiah 55 and 11 is true. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We just sow the seed and let God do the rest. We saw that video of Brother Stone came. There was no altar call. I didn't see anybody get the Holy Ghost right after that. But we don't know what that seed did. There's been actually a great revival that's gone on in that building among the United Nations. People are getting the Holy Ghost. They've been having Bible studies. People are getting baptized in that place. It's incredible. And so our job is just to, but there was nothing he saw really happen right away. But our job is just to plant the seed and let God do the rest. Sharing our life story can impact the people around us and those who come after us. Many are the testimonies throughout the ages of those who have lived out their convictions faithfully, even in the face of persecution and death. There was a story of a man in the 16th century, Hugh Latimer. He was one of the faithful preachers who willingly gave his life under the reign of, she's known as Bloody Mary, rather than to renounce his belief in the gospel. And he and his friend Ridley, they were being burned at the stake. And as they were dying in the flames, he said famously to his friend, he said, "Be of good comfort, Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." And he went out like that, believing that this life that he lived, this testimony, was going to be something that just carried on. And that's the power of a testimony. We were reading Paul's testimony thousands, hundreds of years later, and it still has an impact. There's a power in a testimony when we share it. Bernie Hanscom, I told you about, and he passed away years ago. That, I still remember that testimony. There are people who have gone on before us, but their testimony carries on. There's a power in that testimony. Testimonies are powerful opportunities to influence others, leading them to salvation in Jesus, or giving them hope and faith for tomorrow. So we We can't keep it to ourselves. We've got to share it. Share it once, share it twice. I have been greatly impacted by the lives and testimonies of others, both in things I've heard from them and also by watching them live their lives and seeing what God has done in them. There's a couple in the church that I grew up in. We watched. Their marriage, they fell apart. And it took years. And God brought them back together and restored that. I've seen that happen. I've seen prodigals come home. Families get messed up and the kids get all over the place. And I've seen them come home. Now they're raising their kids in church. So their kids are getting the Holy Ghost.
Praise God. Praise God.
There's these testimonies I've seen.
Yeah.
Healings. You name it. All sorts of things. That I know if I ever go through anything like this, I've got that testimony that I've heard or seen.
Yeah.
There's a power in that, and there's an encouragement in that. So we need to share our testimony whenever we can. We'll give you another chance another day to do it. But we need to share it. Share them with your family. When you got your grandkids over, your nieces, your nephew, tell them what God's done. Pass those stories on. I got so many stories as my grandmother would just tell them to me. We would just go over like probably once a week after we got married and moved back. We would just once a week and they would just tell us stories. We would just sit there and they would just tell us stories after stories. And that's an important thing to do. It's an important thing. There's a power in that. About how God provided for them. And then, you know, I can get down sometimes and go, oh, God, He took care of them. He can take care of me.
Yeah.
There's a power in our testimony. And don't ever undersell what God's done in your life. It can impact anyone. You don't know. Just to keep it to ourselves, it's a waste. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Great God.
Sing all the Sunday school songs. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
Oh, no.
No. Anyways.
Great.
So there's a power in our testimony. Whether they get, you know, whether they get on board right away or they don't. I don't know. Agrippa didn't. Festus said he was crazy. Lots of other people followed it. Just share the testimony, share what God's done, and let God take care of the rest. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Wonderful. All right, let's pray then.